Hello, Potters, and welcome to episode 147 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. We have made it to the dearths of summer.
That was a very fancy
World Cosplay Summit.
Yeah, World Cosplay Summit is tonight, which I didn't realize it was tonight. It's tonight / tomorrow morning. It's 11 p.m. if you're on the Pacific Coast.
Yes, so of course we wish the best of luck to all of the teams, not just the USA, although we are, you know, USA, USA. Woo! But all of the teams that are there are fan-freaking-tastic, and we're really looking forward to seeing their costumes. Granted, it ends up showing at like 4 a.m. here in the States for some of us, so most of us probably won't be watching it live, but you can sign up to watch a time-shifted version, which is what they call it, time-shifting, so that you can actually watch it within the next 24 hours. So you can always sign and watch it tomorrow. So of course, head to their website or their Facebook for more information on that. So again, this year doing the broadcast. We're in the dearth of summer, the deep abyssal depths of hell here in Texas. These are not the times you want to cosplay outside, guys. It's just way too hot and constantly humid. In fact, we had another freak thunderstorm pop up within about 15 minutes today. It's like, oh hey, it's sunny and now it's pouring rain. It's welcome to Texas.
Which means it's humid as all get outside.
Yep. And oddly enough, it's supposed to rain for the next week here. And it's supposed to be in the 90s.
Yay!
I cannot wait for fall so I could actually wear decent cosplay. But speaking of conventions in the summer, we actually have two that are coming up very, very shortly.
2 weeks away.
Next weekend.
Next weekend and the weekend after.
So good times. Yes. Infinicon is next weekend. It actually starts. So it's actually less than a week until Infinicon actually starts. But it is a week from tomorrow. Cosplay contest. We are on Saturday this year, if you guys have not heard. It is still the cosplay contest. The costume contest that you guys are accustomed to has moved to Friday night. And you are, of course, welcome to sign up for both, but we really want you to sign up for ours.
We're giving away cash.
Cold hard cash, baby. Can't do much
you can
better than that.
To except buy us booze later.
Cold hard cash. Oh, well, not me, because I don't drink.
Should be fun, though.
No, but we do sincerely encourage you guys to sign up for it. We know that Anime Fest is coming up soon and that a lot of people are frantically preparing for it. So we would encourage you to look at Infinicon, not only as a way to win cash to reimburse you for that prize, but as a test run so that you can figure out what you need to improve for the Anime Fest costume contest if you are, in fact, competing in it.
The other convention that we're going to be heading to the week after Infinicon is Anime Fest. This is the first time that we'll both be returning after a couple of years. We wanted to give them enough time to kind of settle into their new place. I was there last year as a judge for their hallway cosplay contest. This year, I've been asked to return as a judge for their main stage contest on Saturday, and that's the cosplay runway, the strut your stuff, and then the cosplay contest, which is their skit content. So that pretty much will consume my entire Saturday there. But I am really, really excited to be going there, to be doing that, to be helping out. It was a ton of fun last year. The team there is really great. They're very professional, organized. They know their stuff. And I was like, oh, this will be fabulous. It was just such an easygoing day. And it was a lot of fun watching and meeting all the cosplayers. So I'm definitely looking forward to doing that for A-Fest. And then we both also have press passes too. So we're going to try to be there Friday, Saturday. I'll try to be there on Sunday as well. Catch up on some of the panels, do all the cosplay stuff like we always do. And I don't know if there's any particular guests that you wanted to meet. I'm kind of being a nerd and want to meet maybe one of them.
I haven't even really hit the guests and scheduling phase yet of looking at what I want to attend, simply because I've been looking over Infinicons. Because that's coming up much sooner. And, you know, we have to work out scheduling and potential filming and press type things.
Right.
For that. I'm really hoping that Anime Fest kind of Okay, this is going to sound a little dorky, so I am sorry. I'm kind of hoping they one-up Akon just a little bit. I'm hoping that they offer some of the more intermediate and advanced cosplay panels that I was dying to see at Akon that didn't happen. That's kind of like more of what I'm looking for at A-Fest. I will actually be there on Friday and Saturday, possibly Thursday. Probably only Friday and Saturday, though. Just because I have a day job. So I will probably end up looking at the calendar this weekend once I've gotten Infinicon stuff set. And that way we can figure out what all of the things are to do at Anime Fest, which I'm still a little miffed to do the voting system for the panels.
Yeah, I'm still not a big fan of that. I'm Come just on, like, I have been told that they've worked out some tweaks and that there are some panel content where even if it doesn't get a lot of votes, if they know it's a good presenter and good quality content, they'll still go ahead and push it through. But I'm still just kind of like, because sometimes you don't go unless like the day before you decide, hey, I'm going to go ahead and go to Anime Fest, and you know, you don't pre-reg or do any of that stuff. And the only way you can vote on panels is you have to buy a badge. So it's like, okay, it's one strike. But the other thing too, is one of the things I like to do if I'm just wandering around the hallways with myself or with friends, we want to sit on a panel, is we'll pull open the schedule and we'll just look right then and there. You know, we don't sometimes plan out in advance. Sometimes we'll just wander in, sit down, and we'll learn something really cool because of that. And when you have such a restricted panel list that's only based on, you know, audience favoritism, it can get kind of convoluted. And you're like, okay, really?
And it's limited favoritism because, as with our electoral system, it's not 100% participation. There's a very small fraction of people that actually vote for the panels. So it's actually favoritism among a core group of people, unfortunately.
But I have been told that over the years, they've kind of refined the system so it's not as harsh as it used to be. So it's a little bit more open and forgiving. So thankfully for that. I haven't had a chance to look at the full schedule yet. I don't even know if it's been released yet, but should be pretty close to release by now, I'd imagine.
It should have already been released if we're 2 weeks out.
Yeah. Should. Hopefully that's the case.
hint to other cons.
Right.
At 2 weeks out, you should have the schedule published and finalized.
This is the one thing I appreciate with Todd and the AllCon and Infinicon team, is that once they have something approved and they know when to stick it on the schedule, it's up and going. Like, you'll have stuff on there months out in advance. It's so nice.
And you guys, meaning convention staff, you don't have to post, this is not the final schedule, this is subject to change. We know.
You already have that disclaimer on there.
Well, it's not even that. It's that we understand that when you go to a convention, obviously there are some circumstances that you have no control over, you know, bad weather delaying flights for guests, or illness in the family, emergencies, whatever. We're fine. We understand. If things get canceled, yeah, we'll be a little bummed, but you don't have to print that on the schedule. You don't have to emphasize, this is not the final version. Yes, this should be the final version. And there's always the unspoken caveat, kind of like the unspoken, you know, be excellent to each other at conventions rule, that's also unspoken. Things may change. That's fine.
Things are always subject to change. We get it.
Indeed. And speaking of preparing for conventions, because you have one sitting in the background.
I have one sitting in background. It's Though I'm kind of miffed right now because my dress form is being really strange for reasons that I cannot fathom. Like, I think I may actually take apart this thing and try to put it back together because it's tilting to the side, like to the left side. So
your dress form is sashaying?
Yeah, but not intentionally. It's kind of weird. And whenever I zip up the top, it's billowing out in the midsection for reasons I do not understand. Yeah, but on me,
I see the tilt and I see the tilt.
Yeah, on me, it's totally fine. It fits great. And I've already checked the measurements on this. It's the same measurements as my own body, so I don't know what the hell's going on. I got to crack into it and figure out the madness. But here is the progress on my Songbird outfit. So the top is, it's getting there. I still have to add in the fake pockets. Yay. And then all the gold embellishment on top of that, which is a whole nother train wreck that I got to deal with later. Either later on tonight or tomorrow, I will be streaming the entire process of making the faux buttons using tons of craft foam and Warbla and mod melts. Yay! So that'll be part of my trial and error tomorrow. But the one thing that I'm probably most happy about making recently, my hat! Look at this thing, isn't it glorious? You do not want to know how much hot glue was used. It's pretty bad.
Look at this hat. Isn't it great?
It's so beautimous. I love it. I love it. And I do have some straps and stuff, so it'll sit like right here, just where I need it to, all luffy-duffy in my face. I do want to apologize to all of my historical costuming and Lolita friends, as well as those who may be watching right now, because I did not use traditional hat-making methods to put this together. Again, there's a ton of hot glue that was involved, and a lot of wire, too. Definitely not traditional hat stuff. We're just going to leave it at that, because, I apologize immensely. But for my first time making one of these, I'm really happy with how it turned out. I actually have most of this streamed online. So if you check on my Twitch channel, it'll actually have a how-to of how this whole thing came together. I did end up taking apart this top piece and remaking it because I wasn't fully satisfied with how flush it was. But since remaking it, it's so pretty. I love it. I even made my own ribbon. Go me. So that way I don't have to worry about it fraying and all that mess. Yay! It's so cool. I just can't stop looking at it. I'm so happy with it. So this is basically my project for the next 2 weeks because I'm really trying to get this done for AFest. This is going to be my judging outfit. One, because it's uber, uber comfy. Like, I've already sat in it and I'm like, this is nice. There's no sleeves on it, so I'll be wonderfully comfortable in the judging room. I don't have to worry about the AC not being on because sometimes it's not on at that hotel and it sucks. It's a nice short skirt and it's nice and poofy at the bottom, so I don't have to worry about anything. It's just going to be comfy. It's comfy, it's new, it's fun, it's delightful. So that's what I'm shooting for. And I'm hoping I can get this done in time. I think as long as I stick to my schedule, I will. It's barring distractions. That's all I've got. Other than next weekend for Infinicon, I'll be wearing my Jonah Heston costume from MST3K. So that'll be fun to wear on Saturday. And I'm just looking forward to the cosplay contest. It's gonna be fun. I'm so looking forward to it. That's all I got, Amber. Your turn.
Okay. You guys may have actually seen it briefly on screen that I'm doing the terrible unthinkable. This is the final version of my paladin costume. I finished all of the patterning. In fact, I did the pants this morning. I've measured twice and cut once.
Always good.
So this is my final form. Yes, and I'm trying to be as neat-handed as possible. I did take this apart from Sapphire Fantasy, my old Ren gown, and it took me for freaking ever to take that thing apart. Oh my god. I am very glad that it's done. And in fact, I may still have to purchase fabric, if only because when I go to make the pants, lengths of fabric that I salvaged are wide enough. They're long enough, but I don't think they're wide enough. So this is my bolero, actually, that I'm pinning together. And I did something that freak out every cosplayer. Is that I drew, you can probably see it a little bit, I drew in permanent marker. These are all of the designs that go on the bodice. And actually the bolero is also marked up, but it's on the inside because right side's together when you're pinning. And face with puffy paint. So you won't see the permanent marker anymore. But basically when you trace over fabric with permanent marker, you get one shot. And you cannot mess up or you have to cut a new piece. So it's very harrowing to do this sort of thing because it can't bleed, you can't mess up, you can't move the template, which here's one of my templates so you can actually see how thin. For all those, you can see the hole, you can see me through it. Yay! So this is actually cut out. There are pieces of tape everywhere holding it together in places simply because otherwise I would literally lose pieces from the template. So then I have to freehand and finish the actual template. I trace all the pieces that don't have tape, and then I have to freehand finish them. So I can see Val hyperventilating already.
But, question.
You know,
question.
I have to do this.
I has question.
Yes, you may ask.
Is this a permanent marker, like a Sharpie?
It has to be.
My head hurts.
I actually tried it with two thinner pens.
Okay.
And it's so thin that because I'm using such a dark blue fabric that I can't see it well enough to trace with puffy paint.
Gotcha.
It's a sheer visibility thing. It has to be thick enough for me to see it to be able to accurately put puffy paint down. And it will cover all of the permanent marker. You won't see any of it because the paint is actually ever so slightly thicker than the permanent marker. But this is me having to lay down all my patterns because it's very complicated puffy paint embroidery.
I will give Amber this. She is incredibly careful and she has some of the most stable hands I have ever seen. So I know her puffy paint work is going to look fabulous. It's just the fact that she used Sharpie. That's what's killing me. Because I don't even use Sharpie on my patterns. I still use a pen.
No, I use a pen everywhere else. And I did try two pens. I tried the thinner version of the Sharpie, the fine tip.
Right.
And I actually tried an ink ballpoint pen. Like a nice Pilot. It's just too thin.
Gotcha.
If the fabric were any lighter, I could have gotten away with an ink pen. But not for this particular shade of royal blue, which is really, really dark. All my patterns are traced. I do need to stitch everything together first, just because the puffy paint is really flexible. I don't trust it when I have to turn the fabric, not cracking.
Right.
So I'm going to turn the fabric first. Then I will trace over it with puffy paint, and I will be securing that fabric with clamps to my table, which is what I did when I traced over the patterns, too. I clamped everything down with C-clamps so that it would not move, because that's the other thing. When you're tracing this stuff, the pattern cannot move or else you bleed everywhere. Not you physically, unless you've cut yourself, obviously, which is bad in another way. But the pens that you're using will just bleed all over your fabric. So thankfully, I mean, it is a little bit off. I have a feeling it's because the piece isn't completely symmetric when I cut it, but I'm okay with it. It will be fine.
I trust your steady hands again. Yes. Again, I trust your steady hands because I've seen your stuff up close and you can't tell that it's puffy paint. So
if you guys want to see on my Facebook page, which is Titania Cosplay, you can actually see my work in progress of my Ranger. And that's where you can see I did gold embroidery all over that thing. The choker, the corset, the bodice, the jacket panels, everything had just really complicated embroidery. And I'm doing this while I still have the steady hands to be able to do it. Because God knows I can't embroider to save my life. Oh, I missed a spot.
Uh-oh.
I'm staring at this now and I actually missed a spot with the Sharpie. I see the missing line. That's where tape was holding the piece of the pattern together. God damn.
Well, that's too funny.
No, I'm gonna.
Now she's gonna go out. She's gonna fix it right now.
Literally, right now, I have to fix this. My OCD is kicking in, and oh my God, I have to fix this.
Cosplay on the spot.
Okay, there's my Sharpie. All right. I'm better now.
You good?
Yeah, I fixed my one missing line, and I'm sure I may find another one.
You probably will, yeah.
It's really hard to do because, remember, I have to manually fill in a lot of the lines where the tape was over the pattern, and it's really dark. Sometimes I miss seeing it. That's pretty much what I've been working on. I actually have not made all that much progress because I have been having some pretty severe mental health issues that I will openly admit to. And while I will not go into details, all I will say is that I will happily accept prayers for well-being and positive thoughts. No, I don't need money at this time. That is taken care of. But I would certainly welcome well wishes because I've been having a really hard time lately. I haven't even wanted to work on cosplay for the last 2 weeks. It's been that bad. So at least today I've made a little bit of progress. This will not be done in time for AFest, unfortunately. you know, we'll see what happens. I will work on it as best as I can.
We send lots of hugs like this.
Yes, I appreciate that. All I've got. So we have done our updates. We have done our con updates.
Yep.
In the news.
We can move to our news topic. Yay! Which, for those who are watching us right now, we got 3 viewers. Woohoo! I went ahead and linked the articles in the chat so you guys can take a quick look over those and see what the heck we're going to be talking about. We're going to talk about the fallout that is Fandom Fest. This oddball convention that has popped up on the radar over the weekend, like last weekend, because of a massive redunculousness that has happened. And I don't know how else to describe it. So for those who are wondering, Fandom Fest initially had like a lineup of 45 plus celebrity guests, and more than half of them ended up canceling for one reason or another. Some of them say it was because of work commitment. Some of them say, well, the convention never actually set up our transportation and our hotel and all that. So there were issues abound on multiple perspectives. And what ended up happening was the con said, well, those who bought photo ops and autograph tickets, we have a no refund policy. You can't get refunded if the celebrity decides to cancel. Their options were to either use that money and spend it towards another celebrity that is attending, or you can use that money and that'll be your ticket for next year's event, even if you don't spend the whole amount. So it was like, okay, that's kind of an unfortunate toss-up between the two, because if there's not a celebrity guest that's there that you want to meet, like let's say you put all your money into Stan Lee and Stan Lee cancels, that was the whole point of you going to the con. Well, what do you do then? And $600 for Stan Lee versus an $80 ticket. I mean, that's just not really fair. So they're still sticking to their guns on the no refund policy 1 week later, and they have potential lawsuits brewing because of that, because that's kind of a ripoff. The other problem that they ran into was there used to be a 30,000 convention in a convention center, a place that could actually hold them. They had some issues with some contracts come up, and they ended up having to move 2 weeks before the convention was set to begin to a old Macy's store at a mall where the attendance cap was 1,700 people, and they could not hold any more than that. Needless to say, a lot of very angry longtime attendees were not so happy about this situation. So I kind of, yeah, go ahead.
Remember the whole thing when we were like, yeah, we get it. Circumstances change. We can deal. That only works if you actually communicate with your attendees when things do change in a timely manner. And if they change drastically, like having to move to a different hotel across town, that tends to be a bit of a problem when you consider that people choose their hotels based on proximity to the con. And they have to get transportation. So.
Oh, man. Yeah, it just seems like a giant cluster fudge on top of a cluster fudge. Because, and this is something that I've been just talking about with other people too, you know, badge refunds, that's pretty much across the board at all conventions. Once you buy your badge, it's pretty much a no refund policy. If you opt to not show up, that's on you. I mean, that's fine. That's understandable. But when you as a convention have a celebrity that cancels, you're no longer able to fulfill that contract of what the customer paid to receive. Therefore, you have to refund the money. And I think that might be kind of illegal for them to keep the funds. Now, it depends on state law, of course. I mean, that it may actually be that the convention is like, yeah, we don't have to refund the money. But I know of no convention that wouldn't offer a refund at that point. That just seems, it seems idiotic, well, to be frankly honest.
Well, here's the thing. And it isn't just about state law, but also federal law, in that if the organization is a for-profit, then they are not obligated to refund your money, even though it is piss poor customer service. As anybody who's worked in retail knows, you know, sure, go ahead, refund them, get them out of my store. That's how it works. But if they are a non-profit, which I believe is a 501c3, your monies have to be used for the benefit of the members, which means that if you are given money, you must provide that in services or goods or, you know, performances who are members of your organization. That gets a little bit harder because you have not provided those services by taking in that money, you know, unless you use that money for, you know, getting other replacement guests or something. That I could see. It doesn't really have to be a refund. It can be an exchange in kind. Now, I realize that that does not do that some people build their entire trips around one guest, seeing one guest. You know, people fly in from out of state, out of country even, for these guests. I understand, but it's kind of the whole returning back to circumstances may change and the con has no control over that. If a guest has to cancel, the con can literally not do anything about that. Realistically, it's up to the con to decide how to respond, yes, but there's not much they can really do about the whole guest not being able to be their thing. Not to mention that some of the funds that are paid end up being non-refundable. So if you say book a guest, well, if that guest has a non-refundable, you know, fee that goes toward their appearance fee, well, then the con has lost that money too. Pay to see the guest, well, the con paid to the guest in the form of a fee that they don't get back, which means the con has no money to give you. It's really all dependent on the circumstances, I suppose. In a Fandom Fest's case, having half of your guests cancel really kind of tends to make the entire convention fall apart, because conventions pretty much live, breathe, and die on their guest lists. Yes, there are people who don't go to cons to see guests, but the majority of con goers, even if they don't go specifically for one guest, will tend to pick and choose conventions based on the guest list. So in that case, I think the con has some other things they need to be looking at.
Probably management.
Well, at the very least, even if they couldn't do refunds, then they should have reached out. And, you know, if the fans paid for autographs, then they should reach out to those agencies for the actors and get autographs. Yes, they're not signed in person, but at least, you know, you could still get something from them for the money that you paid. Photo ops, there's not too much you can do about that because they're not there in person. Could invite other guests, you know, if that was possible. Depending on the money, I would have considered canceling the convention.
Honestly. Yeah, that seems to be, one person had mentioned that in our chat is, you know, they probably should have just canceled the con. And I'm wondering if at that point they were just too far invested into it, with it being 2 weeks, 1 week out, that it was like they just couldn't. Everything had been paid for. Everything had been rented.
I think it's that.
Yeah. And I did post two articles to the chat. One of them is the one that we're discussing about, but there's also a secondary article from somebody who actually attended the event. And his perspective is actually pretty insightful. And he made some both good and bad comments about the event itself. And I think a lot of people, when we go into a convention and we know that things are just not working, that it's almost kind of like a DashCon situation, you find that people always find a way to try to make the best of things. And he was like, you know what? The event convention attendees were all really cool. They all seemed like they wanted to have fun. The guests that were there were trying their best. I mean, you had like James Gunn show up and he was completely into it and was like, you know what? This is a thing. This is going to happen. And, you know, people try. They really, really tried. It's just a really unfortunate set of circumstances. There's really no other way to putting it. It's an unfortunate set of circumstances that came to a head at the wrong time possible.
And it happens. There are cons like Marvelous Nerd Year's Eve that fall apart on you. And as an attendee, you just kind of make the best of it that you can. And, you know, if you had losses, well, there's not too much you can do about that. You can complain, you know, constructively, but sometimes even then, if the organization doesn't exist any longer after the con, then that doesn't really make a difference either. But as far as kind of the larger point, make sure that as a con, you communicate at all times with your attendees to the maximum extent possible. I think conventions, to an extent, kind of need to get off their high horse with keeping things secret from other cons. Seriously, do you guys think staff don't talk? And staff tend to staff multiple conventions, so it's not like they don't know the inside scoop on your con. There are attendees who attend multiple cons. They talk to each other and to staff. At this point, secrets between cons. So you may as well just go ahead and get your stuff out there. Get your communications out there. If you're having problems, that's fine. Admit to it so that people can plan and potentially even help. You know, if you're short on volunteers, if you only have half your volunteers sign up, say something, because I'm sure there's a ton of people who may not have seen that post. Thanks, Facebook. Help, sign up, and volunteer for your con. Now, if you have a guest dropout, please say something so that those who need to request refunds or, you know, what have you, can do that, that they have time to do that. Maybe they can, you know, transfer their badge over to somebody else, and then the con doesn't lose money because they had time to transfer their badge over, and somebody else can now go to the con and you get to keep your money. Just communicate with your attendees. Make sure that you have the authority to speak on whatever you're speaking on. If you are a staffer, you know, don't speak to things for which you don't have authority. Make sure that you are speaking truthfully. Knowledge, we understand things can change, but always try and be truthful. Make sure that your schedule is out in a timely fashion so that attendees can, you know, peruse their options and make plans. And having your schedule out early encourages other attendees to sign up who may have been on the fence. And just concentrate on doing the best that you can to run a fantastic con for the attendees. It's not necessarily all about the money you make from tickets. You know, it's not just making your attendees happy. You also need to make your guests happy, make your artists happy, make your dealers happy. You know, make your volunteers happy. Happy, they come back to see you. Happily, and they bring friends, and they also bring more money. And it doesn't take much to make con attendees happy. I mean, yes, they'll always complain. If you give a mouse a cookie, yeah, we know. But at least if you've made the effort, people can see it. People can really see that too.
Yeah, to add to that, first off, I have to correct myself. I said the wrong actor. It's Sean Gunn. My bad. So second thing is, this year in particular, it seems like we've had a lot of convention issues crop up in, not just on social media, but there have been like major news stories that have been published. And I'm wondering if it's, we're at that point where our market has been so oversaturated with conventions, people are just getting the same old, same old, same old, same old attitude, that now we're at the point of, okay, we're tired of getting treated like this. I'm wondering what's going on.
Consider also that a lot of the larger cons and even some of the smaller convention groups are being swallowed up by the same entertainment media groups.
Also very true, yeah.
A lot of the cons are run by the same people, and they're staffed by the same people. So you kind of end up getting the blanket treatment from whichever one that you're, you know, having concerns with. Plus, yeah, I definitely think we've hit saturation point. And I know that a lot of our friends, in fact, are starting to have trouble, you know, allotting resources. I mean, time, money, childcare, transportation, to be able to go to these cons. Just because there are so many, you have to be very picky, choosy, and people's standards are high because they've got limited resources and they want to get the most bang for their buck, sometimes in a very literal sense. So you end up having to pick and choose, and definitely experiences like this can turn people off within the first hour of walking in the door. And if that's their first time and that's their first impression, find another con. I certainly wouldn't blame them. I mean, I'm no longer attending Project Acon because our experiences were just kind of trending downward and downward and downward until it's like, you know, I have limited resources myself. I've only got so many conventions I can attend in a year. I've only got so much time off of work. This is not worth my money and my time. Benefit for what I'm putting into it. So I'll find myself another con. Hence Anime Fest this year.
I'm really curious to see what the trend is going to be over the next couple of years when it comes to conventions. If the bigger cons are still going to be the big cons, or if we're going to start to see more little niche cons try to pop up and take away some of that attendance, saying, hey, we're different from all the big guys. We're small, we're quaint, we're family friendly, we're all about friends and hanging out. I'm wondering if they're going to start taking over the market because of that, because they're not the big convention feel.
I think capping attendance is going to become a bigger thing. And that's simply because not only does capping it allow them to have more control on their venue, and thus you have a very accurate idea of how many staff you need, how many guests you need, how many vendors you need, how many people are going to be at the con max. Whereas if you have open attendance, you have no idea until the day comes when your con opens. So I think it does give them control, an exclusivity factor. Like SDCC, there's a lottery for tickets. People flood their internet systems. Like, people are on their phones at work, or on computers while they're out of town. Sometimes people will make, they'll call in favors. They'll make deals with their friends saying, hey, can you get me a ticket and I'll pay you back, just because there's such a slim lottery. That exclusivity just drives their market, and they can charge higher prices for it too, because there's so much demand. And I think other cons are going to start doing that. They're going to start capping their attendance so that it makes people go, we'll just hype it up. They'll be automatic hype people for the con, and free marketing for them. Yes, it sucks really hard, because then not everybody who wants to go gets to go. In fact, I'm still trying to get in to an attendance capped con next month, and all the tickets have already sold out. So I'm just kind of waiting to see if they release more tickets or if there's some contest I can win, because I really want to go. Yeah. So it's tough, man. Picky choosy time.
This is where the life of being an MMO camper comes into play, because, man, I got skills. Except for SDCC. That one, that's just like the white whale. If I can get tickets to that by normal conventional means, I am Captain Ahab, and that is my whale. One day it will happen. Oh, goodness. The truth of it all.
Of course, if you, the Potters, have comments that you would like to add on this, or if you have experiences you would like to share, you guys are always welcome to contact us via any of our social media, which can be seen here.
Here's all the stuff. I was typing at the same time. That was really bad timing on my part. Sorry.
It's all good. With any sort of comments, questions, concerns, constructive criticism, or if you just want to say hi, to our email address at podcast@cospod.org. And of course, as always, you'll get responses individually from both of us. With that, unless you've got anything else.
Nada. We can move on.
We will call this an end. Episode 147 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Of course, once more to World Cosplay Summit contestants. Banzai, Ganbate. Good luck, everybody. Hopefully everybody else will get a chance to watch it. Otherwise, we will see the rest of you at Infinicon next week, Anime Fest the weekend after that, and for the rest of you in episode 148. Good night, everybody, and happy cosplay.
Bye, guys!